Avoid places that disturb your mind and always remain where your virtues increase. So obviously, if we find ourselves in a situation where we don't have strong enough inner protection yet, because we don't have deep enough familiarity with Lam Rim or Lojong, such that we have the reflexes that stop our mind becoming disturbed, then yes, avoid the place, if you can. Sometimes we can't. So it's first try transformation, then try avoidance. But it's definitely, it's not just places. You know, later on, for example, he says, avoid friends, Venerable Teacher, avoid friends who cause you to increase delusions. So again, he's not saying abandon your friends, but he's saying protect your mind. You need protection. If you hang out with your friends, maybe, you know, you go to a club together, or you go out to a restaurant together, and maybe the drink starts flowing, the conversation gets a bit bored, and you're, whatever. And you find that, you know, your mind goes places that you really don't want it to go. So that's up to us. We need to provide the protection inside. And maybe we can be with those friends and so forth, because we protect our mind from going down deluded pathways. It doesn't disturb our mind. But if it does disturb our mind, then we need to avoid. It depends what we want most. And what we want most is peace. We don't want to disturb our mind. We don't want anything to disturb our mind. So if we think a little bit about, well, let's say, for example, suppose I were to say to you, you know, there's this place. I go there. Every time I go there, I get angry. I end up coming out like really resentful or angry. Or every time I go there, I don't know, my jealousy just increases. What would you say to me? Don't go there. I love this phrase. Don't go there. You know, we have choice. We have freedom. But sometimes we get stuck in these patterns of behavior. And sometimes we go to places that are the worst place we should be, but somehow we're driven by some compulsion. Sometimes because what's there is attractive and an object of desire, but sometimes because what's there is an object of anger or resentment or jealousy or whatever. Anger loves pumping itself up. Jealousy likes pumping itself up. It likes to be reminded. Indignation. You find yourself attracted, if you're not careful, to situations which increase your indignation. But actually, we have a choice. You don't have to do that. And somewhere inside, there's got to be somebody saying, don't go there. So we have to find, why do I go there? Why do I find myself in situations where these unwholesome minds arise? And then make a choice. So much of Dharma is about making choices, making intelligent, virtuous choices. Exercising freedom. And the more we exercise, the real freedom we have is to choose where our mind goes, where our body goes, where our speech goes. So then let's think about a situation, that maybe an office situation or something, and we find that when we go there, our delusions increase. This one guy, you know, he just has to sit down and I start getting tense. And then there's someone else who I'm like so distracted by, or whatever. And this person down there who's, oh God, he's just employee of the month again, and there's some jealousy coming and stuff like that. Ay, ay, ay. And we've seen that we can work on our mind. We can work on our mind by practicing patience. Patience isn't just grit your teeth and bear it. Patience is a mind that happily accepts. Can you get there? Something that normally would irritate you, you can happily accept. So this is real training. If you follow Venerable Geshe-la's teachings, for example, how to overcome our anger problem in his book, How to Solve Our Human Problem, he shows us, teaches us, using Shantideva, he teaches us how to get to the point where what would normally be an object of aversion we can happily accept, not just resentfully accept, begrudgingly accept, but happily accept. This is a characteristic of patience. It's a mind of acceptance, but it's a happy mind of acceptance. There's some training to do then. We don't have time, obviously, on this course. But think about that. Have I got to the point where situations or people and so forth, normally I become angry or impatient or resentful. I can train myself to the point where I happily accept. So the more we look at this, the more we can see it's actually not so much about the physical location, it's about my mind. It's about where my mind goes. And we need to train ourselves to be vigilant, watching our mind, recognizing certain patterns of thought and feeling arising. And, you know, if I let this come through, if I let this develop, I'm going to be angry in a few minutes. Or I'm going to be craving something. Or I'm going to say or do something that I resent. Sorry, that I regret. Maybe resent too. This is serious, hardcore Kadam Dharma, training our mind in alertness and mindfulness, watching our mind, identifying these patterns. Geshe says, right now we're governed by deluded patterns of thinking and feeling. And our impulse is just to follow them. Start thinking in a deluded way, then start speaking. You know, actions, deluded actions come from deluded thoughts or from deluded feelings. So we get to know ourselves. This is, I would say, such an important point. Get to know yourself. Get to know your mind. Don't just be a victim of your mind and suddenly, oh, there, I've done it again, I've got angry. Or I've done it again, I'm jealous. Don't wait till after the event to see that these mental disturbances are arising, but try to be proactive and seeing, ah, I know what's going to happen if I go there. I'm going to give you an example, and I hope the person who told me this will forgive me. I won't mention any names. Somebody once told me that they have some problem with the managers where they live and work. And they're all the time like thinking. You get home and they're thinking. Oh yeah. And they just think about the faults of this person and what they've done and da 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 da. And every time they think that, then they get agitated, their mind gets upset. So I said to this person, this is what a teacher is telling us. Avoid places that disturb your mind. Don't go there. In your mind, don't go there. So you see, I know what's going to happen if I follow this line of thought, if I start recollecting all these resentful recollections and so forth. I know what's going to happen. Nothing virtuous or of any value is going to come. So why go there? To me, it's such a useful phrase. Don't go there. You know what's going to happen. This person has subsequently told me that since applying this, hasn't got upset with the managers, not even once. Because as soon as these thoughts begin to arise, switches her mind to something virtuous. She doesn't go there in her mind. Can you imagine we have this degree of mental control? This degree of steerage over our mind. That we can move our mind away, knowing if I follow this line of thought, or if I follow these feelings, then nothing good's going to come from it. We just disturb my mind. So don't go there. Avoid places that disturb your mind. To me, it applies just as much to avoid thoughts and feelings that disturb your mind. Don't go there. So either transform your thoughts or switch. Just, if necessary, freeze your mind for a moment, knock the gear stick into neutral, if they still have gear sticks these days, and then come out with a positive mind. So this, to me, this ability to control our mind in this way is so precious, because it means we can keep our mind peaceful all the time.